Right, we're recording.
Very good. Excellent. Good evening. Good evening. And the truth of the matter is this shir is a shir lishma, if you like. It's not even tashlumim, because we wouldn't have had a shir on Maleches Kosher this Shabbos. So this is not really a nidcha. This is just keeping up with our weekly shir on Hilchos Shabbos. So basically, we got the title of the shir is about entangled shoelaces, and we almost got there, but didn't quite get to dealing with it. And what we saw very quickly, just to recap, to put us into a position to be able to deal with what's coming, and that's the following. Very simply, there is a machlokas rishonim, fundamental machlokas, what constitutes kosher min ha-Torah, what makes it an av melocha of, or any melocha min ha-Torah, of tying a knot. Is it? Rashi and the Rosh say it's a permanent knot, a kesher shel kayomo. Any kesher, any knot that is there to stay, that is what makes it min ha-Torah a kesher. Whereas the Rambam, that's Rashi and the Rosh and others. The Rif and the Rambam and others, they hold, no, they say you need two criteria. It's both got to be a kesher shel kayoma, permanent knot, and it's got to be a professional knot, a maisa umum. It's both got to be a kesher shel kayoma, and it's got to be a maisa umum for it to be awesome in Atayro. Well, what difference does that make? What about Midrabono? So the answer is, again, according to Rashi and the Rosh, they will say that in order for it to be awesome Midrabono, it's got to have a little bit of kiyum. There's no question in the Gemara, in fact, from the Mishnayos themselves, that you've got three levels. We've got something, they've got a type of knot which is awesome in Atayro. You've got a type of knot which is asa midrabono, and then you've got a type of knot which is mutter altogether. And both camps, shall we say, Rashi and the Rosh and the Rif and the Rambam, have to explain the Gemara somehow. So Rashi and the Rosh will say there's only one criterion, which is a kesher shel kayoma, but to be asa min ha-Torah. What's the case in the Gemara where it's asa midrabono? So they say that the case that's Osamid Rabbonon is going to be a case where it is not Shel Kayomo forever, but it's Shel Kayomo for a decent amount of time. And we'll have a look and see what a decent amount of time is. Whereas the Rif and the Rambam, who say you've got two criteria to make it Min HaTorah, will say, but it's two criteria. If they're both, it's both a kesher shel kayoma and a maisa umum, then it's awesome in Atayrah. If it is only one of them, then it's awesome in Rabbonah. So you've got a professional knot that you intend to undo. And then, or it could be a non-professional knot that you don't intend to undo. One of the two would be awesome in Rabbonah. And what would be mutter lechatchila? That is, if it's neither. It's neither a permanent knot, nor is it a professional knot. Then it'll be mutter. There we have it. We saw that last week, explicit in the Rambam, just like that. But that's what you have. And you can have a look there. It is very explicit in the Rambam. And Rashi and the Rosh also explain their thing. What's most noteworthy, and it's good to have a look at source number two. Source number two right at the top. We talked about, in the Gemara, talked about an example of a knot which is an av melocha, which is awesome in Atayra. That's the type of knot that the camel drivers or the sailors do. And that is something which is, the Rambam and the Rif will say it's a permanent knot which is meant to, which is professional. And Rashi and the Rosh will say, no, it's just a permanent knot. Why is it permanent? Because we're talking about the ring that goes through the camel's cartilage in the nose. It's meant to stay there forever. You make it, it's made out of leather, it's a leather strap, it's tied, and you never intend to undo it. Similarly, the boat will have a rope that goes through its helm, hopefully above the water level, and in that way, it's going to, that stays there. You then tie a lead to the camel's nose ring, you tie a rope to the boat's ring, and those come in and come out every so often. And therefore, it is the camel's nose ring, which is awesome in our Torah. It is the ship's ring, which goes through its helm, which is awesome in our Torah, because neither are meant to come out ever. What's awesome midrabbanon is the lead, the camel's lead, or the mooring rope of the ship, of the boat. Why? Because sometimes you undo one end and sometimes you undo the other end, says Rashi. So have a look at that in that Rashi, source number two. Rashi explains right at the top.
Source number two. When did Henry R. send us a source sheet?
No, you'll have to have a look at your email from last week.
Last Sunday, I've just been finding it sent out last Sunday. So if you've got your emails to hand,
thank you.
Last Sunday, I can't quite see on this the timestamp, but it was certainly it says Sunday.
24th.
The title is called Updated Condensed Mare Mekomis.
Thank you. Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, no, very good. I was thinking about just before the shiur that I forgot to ask Mr. Erach to send them out again. But it doesn't matter if you can find them. Your computer hasn't trashed them yet, so...
Can I ask a question?
Yes, certainly, in the meantime, yes.
Why should we be worried about a camel and a boat on Shabbos? You can't release the boat anywhere on Shabbos, so...
Very good point, very good point. So I'll tell you, the truth of the matter is nobody's worried about the camel or the boat on Shabbos, but these are examples of types of knots that are permanent, according to Rashi and the Rosh, and professional as well, according to the Rif and the Ramban. Certainly a good point. That's right. In practice, you're not going to be involved in it anyway, but these are considered to be excellent examples. You're right. It's a fair point. It's a fair point. The case that I talked about Midrabbanon, just until people bring up the Mare Mekomis, the case that talking about Midrabbanon are the lead, the camel's lead, which sometimes you undo once and sometimes the other end, or the boat's rope, where sometimes you undo the end, which is which attaches to the mooring, should we say, rings that are on the port, and sometimes you undo the other end, which is attached to the ship. The ones that are mutter altogether are things like our shoelaces, things like a lady's whatever it is, pinafore or something that does up in such a way to keep her dignity. In that case, clearly she's going to open them and undo them. She's going to undo them and do them up again on a daily basis. And that daily basis is all important. But if you're able to bring up source number two at the top is Kitra de Katri Bizmama. This, Rashi says, what is that? The word, of course, if you take the tes and you exchange it with a shin, you get from Aramaic to Lashon HaKodesh, so the Kitra becomes Kashri, a Kesher, de Kitri. Zmama that you tie to, Zmama is a nezem, is a nose ring. So it's the nose ring, Ritzua, Rashi says, Arucha, it's a long lead, Shemachnisim betabas, that you put into the nose ring of the camel. Also, Lechatchil lekosh roshom, on Shabbos you mustn't tie it, and of course, they're reflexive, tying and untying. You mustn't tie them or untie. Mipnei, why? Shepomim, sometimes, Sheminiach shom, that you leave it there, shavua oy shavuaim, underlined there in green, a week or 2 weeks. Why? And therefore, the kosho mate reisho echol. Well, you don't leave the camel there for a week or 2 weeks, even if you leave the boat there. But a camel, you're not going to leave for a week or 2 weeks. So Rashi says, you tie or untie one end, shenosen biyosid, which is put onto the anchor. Of a boat, probably, in other words, the anchor, which is, we call it a mooring ring or post, over omud, or the actual post that you're going to tie the camel to, sha'osa boy, or a nokov agomol, that the female or the male camel is tied to. And therefore, since sometimes you undo one end, sometimes the other end, it could be that any one end won't be undone within a week or two. So Rashi says a week or two, clearly Rashi's saying from a week onwards is going to be considered to be a kesher midrabbanon. It's got some form of permanence to it. And therefore, that's considered to be a kesher, which is long lasting enough. It's not forever. It's not min haTorah, but it is midrabbanon. That's what we find. That is what Harashi and the Rosh have explained this. The Rosh explains the same. If you have a look at source number 3, so he quotes, the Rosh quotes Rashi, and he's talking about, actually he's talking about a slightly different example, and he's saying the following. It's the same thing really. We'll come across it in the Gemara. In fact, let's have a look at the Gemara in source number 2 straight away. And the Gemara says like this. Just before we go to the Gemara, the case in the Gemara, though, is talking about the lady who does and undoes her tunic, pinafore, blouse, whatever it is, obviously, and she does it up in the morning and undoes it when she wants to go to sleep in the evening. So therefore, everyone agrees that is mutter l'chatchila. That is mutter. 7 days or more is going to be forbidden, midrabbanon, and then it is, if it's meant to stay there forever, then it's going to be asur min haTorah. That's what you have it. Although, there's a little bit of a stira, a little bit of a contradiction of inferences, because this lady was saying it's okay because she does and undoes a knot of her pinafore on a right? So she does it, undoes it that day. The implication of that is if it's more than a day, it's going to be asur. Yet the example that Rashi brings and explains when we're talking about the lead of the camel, that is 7 days, up to 7 days is okay. 7 days or more is not okay. So which one is it? Is the cutoff point after a day or is it after 7 days? And in fact, I can take you straight to, let's say, go straight actually to Shulchan Aruch, but we've got very kindly, that's in source number 6. So it is in source number 6. Have a look at 6a first. 6a says, the bottom line, the Ramah, the Yeshomrim, some say, Shekol Keshev, have you got it there? 6a? The Yeshomrim, Shekol Keshev, She'ena Osu Lahatir, but Oysa Yom Atzmoy. If you've got a Keshev which is not meant to be undone that same day, continue off to 6b, which is just the continuation, Mikra Shel Kayomo. It's already Shel Kayomo. It means Midrabbanon, not Min haTorah. It's not there forever. The Yesh Mikilim. And there are those who are Mekel, and they say, Loma, to Ad Shiva Yomim, until 7 days, Lo Mikra Shel Kayomo. It's not Kayomo at all, and it's still okay. Now, fascinatingly, it actually makes a difference. To whether we say 1 day or 7 days, it's quite an interesting difference. We don't have the, in fact, the shul still does have, but we don't use the wimples, the old wimples with a, the ones that we use are simply elasticators with clasps or with Velcro. But the very old types of wimples, there were two types. There were those just wrapped round and round and round and round, and the shirayim, bit left over, you tuck it in between in the fold of the Sefer Torah because it's round the scrolls. So between the scrolls of the two halves of the Sefer Torah, you tuck it in. But there are other types, and the shul's got that as well because I know the Sefer Torah very well by now, and even the apostle ones, and they've got one where you tie it round and round and round. You come to the end, the one at the end, you've got two very long strings. And you're supposed to take one string, you tie it round, and then you knot it, you just like a shoelace, one under and over, and then you do it with a bow. And we'll come and see, and there, very interesting question, because when you tie that knot up, if you get Galil on Shabbos Mincha, then it's supposed to stay there until Monday morning, which is more than 7 days. It's true, it's a bow, but we'll see about that in a moment. And similarly, if you are the Bal Koire or the Gabba for Shabbos morning, the last time it was tied up with a bow would have been Thursday morning. So Thursday morning until Shabbos morning, it's more than a day, but less than 7 days. So we'll have a look. But here, this is the origin of the two opinions. Do we deduce from the lady that she's doing and undoing her pinafore every day. So at the end of the day, and therefore a day up to a day is okay, but more than a day is not okay. Or if you say no, you take the case of the 7 days between 7 and 14 of Rashi, which means that up to 7 days is okay. More than 7 days, including 7 days, I suppose, more than 7 days is going to be a problem. And that's where we have it over here. These are the two opinions. Which is the main opinion? We'll see a little later, Mitzvah Hashem. But while we're on the topic, what is the definition of a day? Have a look at the Mishnah Berurah on 6a, the bottom. It's underlined over here. Elo lemocha, tomorrow. Avolim osu, underlined in blue. Lahati b'leil Mitzvah Shabbos. If you're going to undo it the night of Mitzvah Shabbos, so you say, but you're only going to undo it after Shabbos. Is that b'yomai? It's already Sunday. So Mishnah Berurah says, lo mikrishul kayam b'klal mitzvachatchilo. That's okay. Why? Umiu im kosher b'leil Shabbos kodesh. If you tie it up on Friday night, v'osu lahati b'yom Shabbos atzmai, and the norm is to, yes, very interesting, he says, what the norm is, because I'm going to throw at us the following question. Does it depend on what actually happened? Does it depend on what I intend? Does it depend on what people do? Or does it depend upon what the knot is capable of sustaining itself? So there are four possibilities there. Number one, does it depend on the norm? Number two, does it depend on my intention? Number three, does it depend on what other people normally do? The world at large, what's the norm? Or does it depend on number four? How strong is this knot? Is this knot, is it up to staying forever or not? Yes, those are the four possibilities. We're going to have this pun, the knot and the knot, and hopefully people will understand which one I mean, whether it's the K-N-O-T or the N-O-T. So the Mishnah Berurah, the last bit underlined in green, Afagav de Ein, he says like this, Miu im kosher b'leil Shabbos kodesh, that's reza, Afagav de Ein mamash bo'is hayom, it's not the same calendar day, Mikol mokum, yesh leima de shari, t'chol pochus michofta al shayis, b'yom, b'yomoy, he says, mikri over to 6b. So therefore, that's the prima godin, Mishnah Berurah is happy with it. A day means, literally, 24 hours. That's what you have, 24 hours is okay, is a day. By the way, allow me to share with you a question that maybe people might have had as we've had a two-day yontif. People, when it comes to nappies, and the same question could be with plasters or anything else where you have a sticky strip where it's used, where you have a sticky surface which is kept with a stick with a strip on. We'll come to it maybe when we come to Topher. There's also this question that it's got to be there for a day. And if it is meant for more than a day, there's a problem of removing it. And therefore, many people, those who are medaktik, what they will do is, they will, if they're using nappies or those who know that they've got a cut and they've got to use a plaster, so they will remove the sticky paper, which sticks to the, I wouldn't say the sticky paper, remove the shiny plastic which sits on the sticky surface before Shabbos and put it back on again. And then, clearly, that surface is meant to stay there for less than a day. If it's meant to stay there for less than a day, there's no problem with removing it on Shabbos. Yes, Shlomo.
But aren't you jumping from tying knots to sticky things?
Absolutely right. In this respect, Topher and Kosher, two separate malachas, but they have the same rules. Topher and Kosher, they have the same rules. And it's also, this day comes into there as well. And I bring this as an example, a practical example of something that you may want to undo that is the norm to undo it. So if you prepare those nappy tabs, you remove the shiny plastic that goes on top to stop the sticky bit sticking to anything else, then you're supposed to, the chatchila, one's supposed to remove them and put them back that day on Erev Shabbos, prepare them, so then you know they're not going to stay there for a whole day. Now, fascinatingly, And when you have a two-day yontif and you prepare them, you don't know the which nappies, some of the nappies you're going to use on Shabbos, or in this case, you did it on Thursday, some you're going to use on first day yontif, and some, which Friday, and some you're going to use them on second day yontif, which is Shabbos. So some of them won't be used within 24 hours. But since they're all eligible, and you don't know which one you're going to use, you can choose, take your pick. So they're all ready to be opened within a day. It's okay, even though you expect half of them to leave them over, that's considered to be perfectly all right. So therefore, that's, give you an example, they're meant to be opened. Each one could be opened that day if you should need it within a day, and therefore that's what it is. It's 24 hours. We'll talk more about it when we come to Melechas Tefer. But I brought that as an example, because when it comes to knots, I don't know of knots. Some of them you leave, some of them you don't leave. I suppose if you'd have Sifrei Torah with the old-fashioned wimples, when you haven't decided which Sifrei Torah to use, you could have a similar situation. Okay, now, let's go on to the points talking about. Now, if I can ask you to have a look at, so how do we paskin between the Rambam and the, and Rashi, should we say, the Rif and the Rambam and Rashi and the Rosh, how do we paskin? Very important to know what is the definition of kosher. So if you have a look at 6a, have a look at Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch sides with the Rambam. Not surprisingly, Rambam and the Rif, the majority, Rambam and Rif against the Rosh, Shulchan Aruch will paskin like Rambam and the Rif. Yes, the majority of, two out of three of the Amudei Hayorah, out of the main frame poskim amongst the Rishonim. So here we are. HaKosher Kesher Kayomas the Shulchan Aruch, somebody who ties a Kesher, which is Shel Kayoma, which is there to stay forever. Behu Maisa Uman, and it is a professional knot, Chayev. Very interesting. Shulchan Aruch doesn't often quote and say Chayev, because what are we going to say about Chayev for? But he's coming to tell us the difference between the Isuri Drabonon, the three levels, Chayev, Osamid Drabonon, and Mutter altogether, because we need to know it. So he says, Kagoyim, for example, Keshah Gamalim, he's talking about professional knots, like the camel drivers, like they will make the Keshah Sapanim and the sailors, and the Kishrei with Suez. Now here are other examples brought. The cobblers, when they're making shoes once upon a time, the laces were not like our laces, which come out. Mm-hmm. There were laces that were anchored. Sorry?
Go on reading.
Yeah. He says, and that's what he explains. The Kishrei Tzuris, these are minol v'sandal of shoes and sandals, or boots and shoes. Shekoshim aratzonim b'shas asiyosom. These are the old-fashioned ones that they're anchored. So you can imagine a leather strap that is anchored into, maybe between the sole and the main frame of the shoe, and in that way, then they work their way up and they stay there. So that that they knotted them into the actual shoe, that is done once and for all. And therefore, he says, "V'chein kol kiyutz b'zeh," anything like that, that you'd leave there forever, avol, ha'kosher kesher shel kayomo, if it is meant to be there forever, but ve'einu ma'aseh umen, it's potter, it's osam midrabanan only. That's clearly going with the Rif and the Rambam. Now, along comes the Ramah, not surprisingly, the Eshcholkim. See, the Ramah doesn't quite follow the rule of taking two out of three. Where you have the Rif, Rambam, and Rosh, the Mechavis takes two out of three. The Ramah will often be influenced by other Rishonim, like Rosh, Tosfos, Rashba, etc., and take those opinions into account as well. Therefore, he says, V'yesh Cholkim. There are those who Cholkim, Sviru Luhu, and they hold, if it is their permanent, a permanent knot, never made to be undone, afilu shlehedit, even if it's an ordinary one, chayovin olav. Who is that? Rashi, Rosh. Rabbeinu Yeruchim is a Talmud of the Rosh, and the Tor is, of course, the son of the Rosh. So therefore, these are their opinions, and the Ramah doesn't tell you what to do, but he brings their opinion, which means that he thinks this opinion needs to be taken into account. The Yeshomrim, and the next bit we saw, the Yeshomrim, one day or 7 days. So the Ramah wants you to take into account not just the Rambam and the Rif, and the Rambam and the Rif could be a Kula. It could be a Kula. How could they be a Kula, the Rambam and the Rif? Kula, the Rambam and the Rif. What case would it be a Kula? Go on, Shlema.
No.
Okay, that's also good to unmute yourself just for that. Sorry?
The Rambam is always a Kula because they need you to make a professional lot.
Yeah, but it's still be Asamid Rabbonon. It's still be Asamid Rabbonon. If it is a, isn't it? If it's a knot which is going to be there, you're right. According to the Rambam, if it's not a professional knot, but it is there forever, it'll only be Asamid Rabbonon. And whereas according to Rashi and the Rosh, it'll be Asamid HaTorah. But it's a Kula in that sense. No carbon chatos. But it's going to be Asa. Doesn't make a difference, Asamid Rabbonon, Asamid HaTorah. But where would there be a practical Kula? Rather, the Rambam would work out to be a practical Kula, the Rambam and the Rif.
A double knot that you're going to undo the same day.
Well, if you're going to undo it the same day, then everybody says it's mutter. Very good, good, excellent. It's a good exercise, this. Everyone says mutter. Where's the case where, according to the Rambam and the Rif, it's going to work out as a Kula? Any ideas?
Double knot the same day.
Mr. Israel, Michael, we're waiting for you. So the answer is the following. Here we are. The answer is that the Rambam and the Rif, they've got a Din Drabonon just having one of the two. Since they've got two criteria, so any one criterion out of the two is enough to make it Asamid Drabonon. The upshot of that means that for them, a Kesher which is not Shel Kayomo has to be something which is going to be undone at some time in the future. It doesn't have to be. Yes, go, Mr. Israel.
Sorry, I was muted. I didn't realize. It's a machlokes, presumably.
Yeah, no. Good. Nice to hear you. No, listen, I don't think it's a machlokes because what is true is we're dealing within a machlokes. We're talking about within a machlokes, when with the Rif and the Rambam, when would they be maker? Always nice to hear you. So the thing is like this, that according to the Rambam and the Rif, they don't have to have a Kesher Shel Kayomo, which is Asamid Rabbonon. It's either Kayomo forever, or it's not Kayomo. Kayomo means Kayomo. It's always supposed to stay there. If it's not always supposed to stay there, it's not a Kesher Shel Kayomo, according to the Rif and the Rambam. Whereas according to the Rashi and the Rosh, they've only got one criterion, and therefore, to create a Drabonon, which they need to, because the Gemara talks about a halfway mark where it's only Asamid Rabbonon, they would have to have something which is somewhat Kayoma, but not totally Kayoma. And therefore, in a case where you have a knot, which is not professional, I should say it isn't professional, and it's also not there forever, but it's there for more than a week or two, whatever it is, but you're going to undo it, the Rambam and the Rif will say it's mutter because it's not professional and it's not really Kayomo. Whereas according to Rashi and the Rosh, it remains Asamid Rabbonon because it's somewhat Shel Kayomo. And therefore, actually, without bringing Rashi and the Rosh, you'd have a Kula. So the Ramah is coming to warn you that in such a case, you can still take into account the opinion of Rashi and the Rosh to be Machmir. So we end up with, so to speak, all the Chumras. We end up with all the Chumras. That's what we end up with. But we're not finished yet, because if you have a look at 6b, where it's beautifully underlined over there, the Ramah is there, and the Ramah says the following. The Ramah says, the Yeshemrim, the Ramah has a second go at telling us an additional concern. The Yeshemrim, some say, the Yeshli Zoyer, one's got to be careful, Shleila Hatish Shum Kesher, you mustn't undo any knot shehu shel shehu shnei ksharim ze al ze. It's what we call a double knot. Yes, a double knot. I think it's called a reef knot. Yes. So a double knot, two overs and unders. That's a double knot. That will be considered. Don't undo it. Why not? Why shouldn't you undo it? Now we're even talking about where this knot isn't supposed to stay there forever. It's maybe you intend to undo it the same day, even the same day. So Rashi and the Rosh would say, be my guest. Make a double knot, undo it the same day. Why not? It's the same day, certainly okay. It's not Kayomo, there's nothing else left. And so what could be the problem? Only according to the Rif and the Rambam. Why are they worried? They're worried because, underlined in blue, De'enonu b'kiyum. We've lost our knowledge. Eza mikra kesha shel uman. We don't know where the cutoff point is between a professional knot and a knot that any old Tom, Dick and Harry knows how to do. Where does that come from? That comes from source 4 that we saw last week, where it's actually the Shulter Kiborin brought in the Darkimation in source 4. He brings a Bargos Alfazi. It's somebody who's written on a commentary on the Ramba, on the Alfazi is the Rif. And who is it? The Shulter Kiborin, one of the early Rishonim. And he writes over here, just to remind us, because really important, he says the following, the Keshe Umam, he says, a professional knot, Lonis Baroli, hasn't, it's not clear to me, Heitev, it's not very clear to me, Heichu, how to define it. Miu Nira, Miloshna Fazi, Hu Keshe, it is a knot. Shekoshim Osei, Hodeik Heitev. It is any knot which is very tight. When we can nearly from here, it will seem to me that there's going to a warning should emit any double knot. Don't undo it on Shabbos. He says, even if you intend to undo it that same day, Rashi and the Rosh would say, be my guest. What's the problem? Why? Because it could be asamid rabbonon, because it might be a professional knot. We don't know. Since we don't know, we asa all knots as being under the suspicion of, or the concern of them being a professional knot. Afal pk nizhorim b'kshirosu batarosu b'shum to have a keshe omitz. Because these are tight, strong knots. That's what he says. And that's the Ramah. The Ramah is the Dark Emotion, of course, is the same person as the Ramah. He quotes the Shulter Gibborim and he takes it on board. So we land up being terribly machmir. It's terribly machmir because Rashi and the Rosh wouldn't worry. According to the Rambam, the Rif, it can't be worse than the Drabono because you intend to undo it that day. So it's not a Keshishal Kayomo, even if you didn't intend to undo it that day. If you intend to do it at some stage, it can't be more than the Drabono. Why don't we say Sofi Drabono Lekula? Sofi Drabono Lekula?
Does the Rambam also need you to intend to undo it that day?
No, the Rambam says as long as you intend to do it at some point. So you're quite right. If you did a double knot, but if you intended to use it, leave it there for more than a day or more than 7 days, then Rashi and the Rambam and the Rosh would say that it's Asmid Rabban anyway, because it's got some form of Kayomo. So therefore, let's take a case where you intend to undo it that day. Yes? Or you mistakenly did up a knot, a polythene bag, and you're putting the challah that it shouldn't get dry out from Friday night to Shabbos morning, the cut challah. So then you did it, you did a knot. You say, okay, big deal. It's for that day. What should be the problem? So the answer is the problem could only be this time is a chumrah, according to the Rashi and the Rosh, they tell you with the greatest of pleasure, you could do such a knot l'chatchila and undo it l'chatchila. There's no problem because you intend to undo it that day. It's like the lady with her pinafore. It's exactly the same. Whereas according to the Rambam, with a Shulter Giborim that we don't know, we're nervous. Any double knot, maybe that's a professional knot because we've lost our knowledge as to what a Keshe Uman, a professional knot is. We're not going to allow anything which is hodik heitev, tight, or chazak va'omitz, anything which is strong. A strong knot, a double knot, is a very strong knot. And therefore, the Ramah says, therefore, we won't do it. And he says, v'chei noyagim, here he says, double underlined in blue, that's the minig. Umikol mokim, here's a kula, underlined in green. Mikol mokim nira, deba mokim tsar, or if there's a situation where someone's in great tsar, their shoelaces have got tied in a double knot, you've tied them in a double knot, and now you won't be able to go to sleep Friday night because you can't get into bed with your big boots on, and you don't be able to sleep. So you're going to lose your night's sleep or your Shabbos afternoon shlof, and you're desperately tired. You can't fall asleep. Then ein lochush, because it could only be a drabonon, umutal atiroi to ein ela issa drabonon. It can't be worse than issa drabonon because it's going to be undone that day. Umakam tsar loy gozru, when the Chachomim made the issuri drabonon as an appendix to the issa doraisa, umakam tsar, they didn't make a gezeira. Now, that's what he says, that's it. So, what happens, and this was the title of the shir, what happens to the poor fellow who got his shoelaces in a muddle and he's gotten tired, and he's not real great tsar, but his shoelaces are not tight enough. So they're in a knot, but they're not tight enough. So he can walk to shul, he can manage to get there, but it's a right nuisance. And he's got more like flip-flops than shoes. And it's really not comfortable. Or you can get your shoes off, slipping them out and go to bed. But he can't get on again because of the knot. He's going to have to wear his muddy weekday shoes instead of his nice mechubadika Shabbos shoes. So what's going to be with this? So the answer is that I can find you a kula. I can find your kula. What's the kula? Have a look at source number 8. Source number 8 is the Magen Avraham, is the Chai Odom, and it's been greatly enlarged for us, so we can see it very clearly. Here it is. Keshe he'osui lahate b'chol yoim, says the Chai Odom, who was the Mechutin of the Vilna Gaon, so the 17th century, says the Chai Odom. The Chai Odom says, a keshe which is made to undo every day, Loi mikra kesha, it's not a knot. Fascinating. So who is he paskening like? Is he paskening like Rashi and the Rosh, or like Tosfos, or like the Rif and the Rambam?
Rif and the Rambam.
Try again. He must be paskening like Rashi and the Rosh, because he doesn't say anything about Kesha Uman. He can't just tell you if it's made to undo that day. He should have told you. So it must be the Rif and the Rambam. Yes? So the Rif and the Rambam. Umuta la koshre la tiro. No problem at all. Yes? Very good. Excellent. Excellent. So that's what he said. When we call Mokim, nonetheless, look at this. Given Die Shomim, some say called Kesha. Shakoshim, we say the Kesha Mohudok. Any Kesha that is very tight. Ah. Now, miss out those the words underlined in blue, mikra shel kayomo. Now that would sound as if he's chayshish for the Rif and the Rambam. He doesn't say that. That those, he says in blue though, he says, sheyocho liskayim kach le'olam. What's that? What's that? Sheyocho liskayim kach le'olam. What's that? You know what he's saying? Go on, tell me what he's saying. I'd like somebody, I'm going to tell you something off my own bat, but I'd like a little bit of assurance. I'd like somebody else to say it.
It's your case. Mistake.
Wait, not yet. You did it on purpose. You intend to, but nonetheless, he doesn't want you to undo it. You did it before Shabbos, but sheyochol iskayim kach le'olam. You know what the Chai Odom is saying? Do you remember I told you there are four possibilities of the definition of Keshel Kayomo? What is, yes, what is the norm? What you intend? what is something that is what is useful to you at the moment? And the last one is the strength of the knot in itself, in its own right. In its own right. So the Chai Odom is Cheshish for the last one. If you make a knot that in its own self, in its own strength, the tighter you pull it, or the more you try and separate it, the tighter the knot is. So the thing is meant there, Yochel Iskayim Kach Lo'ilom. So our double knots will stay there forever until the thread loses its strength.
It depends if it's a reef knot or not a reef knot.
Which other one?
There are two types of double knots. If you do the second knot, the second twine in a certain way.
You may be right. I think one's called a reef knot, one's called a granny knot. Depending on whether you've got to reverse it. To get it very tight, you've got to do over and under, and the one that was under needs to go over the next time, and then they marry. The two overs and under and over, and they marry together and get very, very tight. So you're right. So if it's a reef knot like that, which is only going to get tighter, so it could stay there forever. So although the Chayon doesn't really believe it, because he says, Umutu lakosh atiro, he says, L'chein ein la'atis shum kesha elabomok and tsar. That's what he attributes the remorse. He's sort of changed it, if you like. That's what he attributes to. Now, then he goes on, it's not the derech to undo every day. Some people only used to change their shirt from Shabbos to Shabbos. So you leave it on and you only undo it once a week. Also, that you mustn't. So he's unhappy. He's clearly paskining one day, not seven. Can you see that? One day and not seven. Here's our case. Here is the fellow with the muddled shoelaces. If derech you really wanted to tie a bow, ubeloi kavono, inadvertently nikshar, it went wrong and turned into a knot. Dinoi kekeshe sheosu lahatir b'chol yoin. Its din is like something which is meant to undo every day. What's the din of something to undo to every day? What's the din? Mutter or not? You say it's mutter. Ah, who said osa?
Machlokes.
I think Mr. David Levy said osa. Am I right?
No, I said mutter, sorry.
He said mutter. I must tell you, I really think you're right. You're all right. That is what the Chai Odom means. Either Chai Odom said don't do it because that this knot has the ability to stay forever. Remember, he just told you that? But when he tells you now, if it happened by mistake, he doesn't mean the Chumrah. He means to tell you the Ikar Din. It's a little bit subtle. Because Rav Rubin in his Sefer, famous Sefer, become famous by now, Ochas Shabbos, Rav Rubin from Harnof, his Sefer, he asked this question. He says, How can the Chai Odom go against the Ramah? So the answer is, he's not going against the Ramah at all. The Chai Odom is talking very simply that it's mutter. Why is it mutter? Because you didn't intend to make the knot at all. You didn't intend to make the knot at all. So what? But you did it. So now you've got a knot. Why is the Chai Odom more makel when it happened inadvertently than if you did it on purpose? Either way, you intend to undo it every day, within a day, and so why should there be a difference? So the Chai Odom doesn't seem to be going with the riff and the Rambam at all, absolutely at all. He's just saying that if it's happened by mistake, you didn't intend to make a knot. I think what he's saying is that a knot that you never intended to make, you haven't got a lack of Kesher Shel Kayomo greater than that. You can't have a kesha, which is Eina Shel Kayomo, more than a thing that you never wanted in the first place, and you still don't want it. Yes?
Yeah.
So that's what he's saying. At that point, he says, give it up. Forget it. It can't be. It's got to be mutter. A But if you have a look at source number 9, the Chaznish, he is matir the Chaznish. He's matir altogether, not just for Mokum Tsar. By the way, the Chayotim was matir Shleba Mokum Tsar, where it happened by mistake. Only if you did it on purpose, you tied a double knot before Shabbos in your shoelaces, and you forgot that on Shabbos you won't be able to undo them. In that case, you need Mokum Tsar. Where you were a good boy and you intended to do a proper bow and it went wrong, or it worked itself into a knot later, that the High Adam says, be my guest, undo it. Even Shaleba Mokum Tsar, just because it's a bit inconvenient, that's enough. You don't need anything else. It's perfectly all right. The Chazanish actually says, he says the following. The Chazanish quotes the Mishnah Bura, Sivkot Mechof Gimel, B'Shem Achai Odom. That's that Chai Odom. And if you have a look, I don't want to keep it over time. If you have a look at the sheet on 6C, just where it's underlined, he says like this, where it's underlined 6C, the Mishnah Bura Chof Gimel, the im eino rogi lahati akeshe, this is the case. If you don't intend to, if it's not the norm for you to undo the knot of the, whatever it is, t-shirt, pinafore, whatever it is, from 1 week to the next, oselanatik, you mustn't undo it. You mustn't snap it, and you mustn't undo it. Nonetheless, in dark elasis anivo, if you meant to do a bow, inadvertently niksha, it turned into a knot. Dinoi kekesha osalahati b'chol yoyim. And that should be perfectly all right to undo. So the Mishnah Berurah, so the Chazanish in source number 9, says the following. Why is it mutter? The Ramah only says it's mutter mokum tsar. So underlined, the source number 9, underlined in blue, Mikol Mokin, he says, given to Nasa Shleila Das, it was made inadvertently. Underlined in green, you don't want it. You never did want it. You can undo it. Underlined in red, mutter. It's perfectly mutter. Why? The fact that there's a minute not to do two ksharim, one upon the other, chumra be'al mahu. That is just, it's just a chumra. And where, he says, where it happened inadvertently, there's no minig. Have a look, underlined in blue. Umi meila nasik shiro, it happened on its own. Badai ain ka minig bezer. There's no minig to be machmir. Yesh lahamid al hadin. But what happened to the Rambam and the Rif? Why does the Chayodom not take them into account? Is it because the Chayodom has gone completely with Rashi and the Rosh, ignored Rambam and the Rif? Very difficult to say that. My father's got an amazing svara, I think. An amazing svara. And that is, although we're not Boki, we don't know what a Kesher Shel Uman is. And with this we'll finish. Although we don't know what a Kesher Shel Uman is, but something that happened on its own, inadvertently, either you'd messed up your bow and it lands up as a knot, or even more so, when it's the knot that the bow worked its way into a knot. In that case, you cannot have a kesher uman, which is something that not only is it something that he's not a professional, but he didn't do it on purpose. Something that happens on its own. Surely that can't be a professional knot. A professional knot is something that you need a professional to do. And something that turns up as a knot from something else, how can that ever be classified as a kesher uman? Surely you need expertise, not something that happens on its own. And therefore, in practice, the halacha is, and that's agreed to, comes from the Chayodon, the Mishnah Berurah's Paskin that way, Chaznish has rubber stamped it, and therefore that's perfectly acceptable, and that is that if a bow, you made a bow and it turned into a knot, or for any reason it turns into a knot inadvertently, you can undo that knot without any further ado. You don't need it to be mokum tsar, you don't need anything, very simply because It's not definitely not a Maisa Umum. And it's not a Kesher Shel Kayomo. Even the Chochma, the Chai Odom's Chashash, that the quality of the knot is a knot of Kayomo. Because something that you never intended to do, Ein Lecho Kesher She'ena Shel Kayomo Godel Mizu. Similarly, if a parallel, if you like, Ein Lecho Kesher Shel Hediot Godel Mizu, something that happens on its own, that is surely the antithesis of any professionalism, anything that happens on its own. And therefore, it's perfectly mutter. So when the Ramah says B'mokum Tsar, he means if you knotted it intentionally before Shabbos and you forgot it, or you forgot it was Shabbos and you knotted it, you wanted the knot, and then you remember, in that case, really, we should say it's okay because you mean to undo it that day. You're worried it might be a kesher uman, a maisa uman. For that, b'mokum tsar, because it's only an issur rabbanan at worst, because it's not a kesher shel kayomo, it can't be more, even if it is a maisa uman, it can't be worse than an issur rabbanan. Therefore, b'mokum tsar, lo gozru, and therefore it should be muta. We'll see maybe next week what happens to people who tie knots at the end of a single rope. They tie a knot, take a material, tie a knot upon itself. What's going to be the din, and what situations do we have which are practical, which really are affected as a result? Hopefully, let's get that consolidated.
Can I ask a question, Rabbi?
You can have another one, yes.
Yeah, if you're tying a bow, yes, simple bow, can you then wrap that bow into into a knot in order that the whole thing has a stronger structure, and then undo it again that day?
It's a very interesting question. I was thinking about some people, their shoelaces undo on their own after a while. It depends, nothing to do with what the shoelaces costs. It's a muzzle zach. Some shoelaces, you tie them up and they stay, and others keep working themselves loose. So what you'll do on a weekday is, after you've done a bow, you'll take the two ends, the two bows, and you'll tie them over and under. And what I want you to tell me is, what happens with some people call it a double bow, whatever they call it. The question is, what happens if you pull at either end of you still got two ends coming out.
Yeah.
Right? What happens if you now pull at your hardest at the ends? Does it come undone or not?
Sometimes it does and sometimes it doesn't.
I must tell you, that's why I was asking you the question. It's a type of machlokas answer. The question is how you construct it, I think. I think it's the way you've done it up. I think it depends how you did the bow and then how you did the over and under. By all means, have a go at it, because if the answer to it is, if you pull at the end, the whole thing undoes, then I think it's still it's a glorified bow. It's still a bow because it isn't a knot. You can just undo the whole thing. But if, when you do that, it becomes a double knot with a bow jammed in between, and there basically there's only one way to undo it, which is to reverse the double bow that you did and then undo it like an ordinary shoelace. If that's the way it is, then basically it is a double knot. So the question is really a question of Matthias, I think.
Right.
So let's try it out and see what happens, and then try and identify when it will undo and when it won't undo.
Right.
I think so. That will be the answer to your question.
Thank you.
I could say a story the other way around, Rabbi.
Yes, by all means.
Because in the Boy Scouts, they'll tell you that a good knot is one where the professional could come and pull at the right point and undo the knot, like a reef knot. But a terrible knot is one that even lightly, it's so complicated you can't undo it. So Maisa Uman is one that when you pull at the right point, it comes loose. String where you shouldn't pull, then it tightens.
I don't know that there's any. I'm not aware that there's any. I think we just have to take the Shulter Gibbonim, who doesn't know what a professional knot is. I think that's where we are. And we end up with tremendous chumras as a result. But it's already in the Ramah, you see. Except that you've got the Chayodom and the Mishnah Berurah and the Chazon Ish all come to the rescue in a case where it was done inadvertently and say that's not the case that the Ramah's talking about.
I doubt if the Ramah was in the Boy Scouts or the Rambam or the Riff.
Yeah, you never know. But the answer is that the truth of the matter is to be able to understand what we're talking about, like, for example, Mr. Israel's question, we really need to know the Matzias. Before you can really paskin correctly, you need to be absolutely sure of what you're dealing with. But I think the rule is clear. And maybe we'll discuss the Mitzvah Shem next week as well, a follow-on from there. We still owe where a mayor comes in, if you can undo it with one hand. So is that the reason why a bow is okay? Because you can undo it with one hand. We'll have a look at Mitzvah Shem. We'll continue from here, all being well, next week.
Yeah.
Very good. Excellent.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's a pleasure. Good night.